Mr. Weber, could you please, for the record, state your name and your ABC number?
Yes, Kevin Weber, 153979.
Thank you, and good afternoon. You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing on your community supervision, and this concerns the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing, and I see that you signed your form on September 27th. Is that correct?
Yes, it's the two accusations, if one accusation repeated twice, it's the same accusation.
Okay, well, I'll read those to you in just a moment. On that, the form that you signed on September 27th, that form listed your hearing rights, and one of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. I don't see a lawyer with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. There are four board members here today. And if you look on the video screen, way down at the opposite end of the bench from me is the Honorable David Neal. In the center of the bench is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Right next to me here is the Honorable Louis Quinones. And my name is Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chairman today for this hearing. And also in the room with us is Mr. Oliveri, who you can see now on the video. He is a community corrections officer, and he'll represent the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Hello.
All right, so before we get started, I need to swear you both in. So Mr. Weber and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. This hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one, to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision. And phase two, to determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. So Mr. Weber, I'm going to read information from your warrant. And as I read each allegation to you, please tell me whether it's true or false. And if you believe an allegation is false, the board will take some testimony from Department of Corrections. And then the board will make the final determination as to whether or not you violated your conditions. Is that clear to you? Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, let's start phase one of your hearing with allegation number one, which is that you have violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or are probably about to lapse into criminal ways or company by violating condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on or about September 30th, 2017, per self-admission. Mr. Weber, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay, thank you.
But I had a marijuana card.
Well, in phase 2 of the hearing, you'll get to explain more. So we'll just get through phase 1 and then we can talk more about that. The second allegation is that you violated Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 5 as demonstrated by your possession of a device commonly used to smoke illegal drugs on or about September 3rd, 2017. Is that true or false?
I have done to say that's false because marijuana is no longer illegal.
All right. Well, we will take some testimony from the Department of Corrections on allegation number 2 only. So, Mr. Oliveri, thank you.
Allegation number 2, on September 3rd, 2017, offender Weber asked CCS Barrett, swim shift commander, if he could lock up his bike that was located in the front of the PRC facility. CCS Barrett permitted offender Weber to secure his bike. At approximately 4:15 p.m., CCS Barrett walked out the front entrance of PRC and observed offender Weber attempt to conceal something by placing it into the right front pocket of his pants. CCS Barrett immediately approached and directed offender Weber to hand over the item, to which he complied. The item was a clear Ziploc plastic bag, and inside was a black container with a green leaf substance that was inside the container that was identified by CCS Barrett as marijuana because of the odor and color. Also inside the bag was a pipe burned at one end, commonly used to smoke illegal drugs, and wrapped in brown paper towel. Lastly, inside the plastic bag was a closed, clear container. Inside the container was a brown and black substance that was identified by offender Weber as, quote, hash, quote. When CCS Moret questioned him regarding the substance on September 3rd, 2017, at approximately 16:34 p.m., CCS Moret contacted Jerry Eitnauer, the on-call duty manager, and advised him of the incident. The decision was made to take offender Weber into custody. The offender was arrested and transported to ASPC Tucson.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver. Mr. Quinion.
May I interrupt with a quick follow-up question, Mr. Oliver?
Please.
Mr. Oliver, I apologize, because I recognize that this issue comes up quite a bit, but it's the medical marijuana issue. I'm getting a little blurry here. Are parolees, people on community supervision, allowed to smoke marijuana if they had a card?
Yes, and most have been verified that they, in fact, are a patient.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear on that. I was beginning to wonder if it was allowed at all. So, okay, thank you.
Okay, thank
Pardon
you.
Pardon me for the interruption.
That's fine. So, Mr. Weber, what is not true about allegation number two, that you possessed a device commonly used to smoke illegal drugs?
It's the fact that it's not heroin, it's not an illegal substance like methamphetamine. I mean, it was marijuana. It's not no longer illegal if you possess a valid medical card. I don't think there's no illegal. It's not illegal to possess marijuana with a card.
This is true, Mr. Weber, and I'm not going to get into a debate with you, but the device itself could be used to smoke illegal drugs, and that's the point of this this particular allegation.
I don't know, the pipe is just it was a pipe, is what it was. I mean, it's a device, I guess. If it's illegal to have a pipe, but not, I mean, I don't understand the law I broke. I was working day labor. I really don't know what I did.
Okay, well, understood, Mr. Weber. Just to move along to phase two of this hearing, I'm going to make a motion based on Mr. Weber's admission, and allegation two, this is on warrant number 2017W3066, based on testimony of the Department of Corrections for allegation number two, I'm going to move that find Mr. Weber delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
Thank you. Mr. Weber, just give me one moment to mark some paperwork here. All right. Thank you. And Mr. Weber, let's move to phase two of your hearing. Probably the more important part of your hearing, where we determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. Before we move on, let's ask Mr. Oliveri to give us some additional kind of general information so we can understand the total picture here. So we'll be right, stay on the line, we'll be right back with you. Mr. Oliveri?
Offender Weber was released from the Department of Corrections on April 17th of 2017. He was arrested in office on September 3rd of 2017, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He had 0 days abscond. His supervision end date will be on October 14th of 2018. Current conviction, 2007, aggravated assault, 3 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1997, marijuana violation, 6 months. 98, narcotic drug violation, 1 year, 6 months. 99, theft of means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2004, marijuana violation, 1 year. 2004, forgery, 2 years, 6 months. And in 2008, burglary, third degree, 9 years. The offender has 4 terms with ADC. CU and IR scores are 3-3, mental health score 3, SMI, and his substance abuse score is 3. There was no STG gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2000, TIS release, arrested on tech violation and revoked by the BOEC. 2004, TIS release, completion, 6 months. And in 2006, TIS release, completion, 7 months. The offender has a significant disciplinary history with drugs, violence, weapons, sex acts, and kidnapping noted. Other arrest, in 1984, DUI, liquors, drug, vapors combo, South Dakota, fined. 1986, burglary, South Dakota, felony conviction, state prison. 1989, theft, Nebraska, felony conviction, state prison. 1997, marijuana violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. And in 1998, narcotic drug violation, Arizona county jail. His community risk level is a G3, B4.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. And back to you, Mr. Weber. Just to review a little bit about your supervision and how that was going. It looks like you first were approved to go to the Omega Halfway House at 934 North Main in Tucson, and you were discharged there and placed at the Pima Reentry Center then at 1275 West Star Pass Boulevard. What happened that resulted in you being discharged from the Omega House?
Owner of the Mega House, who ate everybody in the house. I dropped dirty for THC, and there was nine of us there. Only the manager did not drop dirty. The rest of them dropped dirty for heroin or crack. So I guess I don't know if he got rid of everybody, but I called my PO and went from there to the Pima Reentry Center, which has been very great for THC.
Okay, thank you. The information that we have here indicates you were not employed. Did you work while you were on supervision?
I didn't do day labor. At least 4 weeks of day labor. I was doing at two different day labor places.
Okay, and that, what kind of work is that? What do you do?
Well, I was just general day labor. I was doing cleanup. I was helping this person set up for a funeral was being set up for. I was just doing day labor.
Okay.
What needed done?
Just any kind of anything that needs done.
I grew up on a farm, operating heavy equipment, helping the cows. You know, the good hard worker. So I mean, I can do anything. I understand electronics, I'm computer literate.
Okay, so you have some trades. You are a heavy equipment operator, computer. You got some good skills. Okay, thank you. It looks like you were, while you were on supervision, you were enrolled in task and you had the color line, and it looks like you had some. You had a negative UA in May, but then starting later in May, you had a positive. There's another positive in June, another positive in July, another in August. And later in August, you had a situation where no sample was provided. I believe you said earlier that you have a medical marijuana card. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and did you when you first get on parole, one of the things you need to do when you have a medical marijuana card is bring a copy of that to your parole officer. Did you do that?
Yes, I did, and took a picture of it.
Okay, I'm going to check with Mr. Oliveri because we have some records here too. Mr. Oliveri, is there evidence of that?
Yes, ma'am. There's an entry dated on July 23rd of 2017. By parole supervisor Don Barrett, medical marijuana card verification completed the state. Card number issued July 13th of 17, expires July 12th of 18, date of birth 6/18/64, active patient.
Okay, so we do have verification. Now, Mr. Oliveri, just for my clarification, once that's done, then the positive THC reading for August 9th should have been disregarded, right? Isn't task supposed to disregard once there's a positive, once there's a medical marijuana card verified?
Yes,
The standard protocol is that the task referral is updated to remove the THC from being tested.
Okay. So, Mr. Weber, I stand corrected on this. It looks like there was a positive in June, July, and that was it. And at that point, your card was verified. But we still had those two that would be problematic. Let's see. And
my
co-officer,
Steve Smith, said that he he didn't want me dropped or dirty for heroin or crack, and I don't like heroin. I don't use heroin. I don't use glass, cocaine. I mean, I've got some lower back pain. I had a motorcycle accident. That's part of the reason the car was given to me. The provost said that he wants me to keep dropping, just he didn't want me dropping dirty for any other substance.
Well, understood, and we don't want you to either. It's just that we have to get that card verified so that, and the reason for that, as you understand, is so the task quits testing you for marijuana.
Yeah.
There's no point because we know you're going to be dirty. So that's the reason for that. It looks like you were, however, bringing marijuana into the Paper Manager Center.
Well, I didn't know where to put it. I mean, I couldn't leave it out in the bike seat. I couldn't leave it in. I didn't have no vehicle to leave it in. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I mean, where I should store it. I mean,
I understand.
It was just a small amount, but it still doesn't matter.
Right.
The amount, I didn't know, have no place to put it.
I totally understand that, and I know it's a felony to bring drugs into prison. So. But I totally understand your dilemma. Let's see, what else? It looks like you, in the past, you have had some successful completions on community supervision. You have 1, 2, 3 of them in 2000, 2004, and 2006. Oh, no, I'm sorry, 2000? You wound up being revoked in that one, my mistake. But you have 2 since then that were successful, so it's clear that you do know how to work with the parole officer in the community. Were you working? What's your relationship with your parole officer, Stephen Smith? Is it a good relationship?
Yes, I really like him. I think he's a good parole officer.
All right. And you were all upfront with him about the medical marijuana?
Yes.
All right. I'm looking to see if I have any other questions for you, and I will look to my panel members, fellow panel members here, and see if anyone else has questions for you. Questions from board? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Mr. Weber, we're getting ready to coming toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Anything else you'd like the board to know, if you could please, without repeating yourself, anything you've already told us.
Thank you for the opportunity. I don't have no gang affiliations. I have 0 tattoos. I was born in South Dakota, grew up. I was the oldest boy. There was one older sister. I was a hard worker from age 6 or 7. I was out of the house first thing in the morning. I love the Bible. I read it. I'm trying to be more born again than it appears that I am. I pray you give me the opportunity to get out there. I promise I will not smoke marijuana or bring it into any. I mean, it was the halfway house. I didn't know where else to put it. I had to put it in my pocket. So, I mean, it wasn't like I was trying to sell drugs. I don't sell drugs. I never have. I'm gonna. And some of the charges on my record, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. I mean, I plead guilty. I'm not arguing that again. I'm just saying some of these charges are it's just not true. So I pray that you guys give me another opportunity. I got 12 months to finish this off. I mean, I just don't know why I need to be violated. I had a card, paid for the card, and I have medical reasons to possess the marijuana. And, you know, the AMA, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, says up to 2 ounces. So I had a gram on me. I mean, in the past, one of the marijuana charges, the very first one,
I had a cigarette in my cigarette pouch. The officer said, "Look like marijuana," threw it away, and so that stuck. Threw the evidence away, and threw the tobacco away, and the marijuana charge stuck, and I had to pay the fine.
Mr. Weber, anything relating to the current situation that you'd like the board to know?
That I was working, that I didn't try to break the law. I was up front with my parole officer. I pray for another opportunity. I don't know what else to say. I pray for you to have a nice day.
Well, thank you, Mr. Weber. The board is going to go into discussion now and make a determination. But we operate under the open meeting law, so all of our discussion occurs in public. We've not discussed your case before this very moment. It may sound like we're talking to you, but we're just talking among ourselves. So if you just stay on the line there, listen in, and we'll be right back with you. Fellow board members, Mr. Weber appears to be a very long-term user of marijuana with incidences, at least a conviction back in 97 and probably continuing through to this day, has tested positive, makes no bones about the fact that he has a medical marijuana card, which is not in itself illegal in Arizona. He was, however, carrying marijuana into a department facility, which is illegal and a violation. I understand his dilemma. If that was where you lived and that's the only place you had to go, I understand that. I don't think he was doing anything deliberate to try to. He wasn't selling the drug, as he stated. I think he just truly had a dilemma. He states he had a good relationship with his PO, and I certainly believe that. So I am eager to hear input from my fellow board members. Mr. Quinones.
Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse. Again, I'm in the land of opinions here. I find the medical marijuana situation a little problematic. For people that are on parole, but the fact remains, I do agree with you. I don't find this violation egregious. He has a card, and I'm hoping that he'll continue to cooperate should we vote to return him to community supervision.
Mr. Neal?
Well, because of the dates that his card was verified and everything, neither one of the allegations on the warrant are valid anymore because they all happened in September and his card was verified in July. Now, he was caught outside of the facility with the stuff when it was taken away from him. I agree with the question about if he's got a marijuana card, if he can take it in a halfway house or, I know he couldn't take it in the, you know, in the main facilities, but these halfway houses and stuff like that. With the marijuana card, I don't know what, you know, what the real movement is, but we're supposed to deal with the allegations that are in the warrant. Neither one of the allegations in the warrant are valid based on the fact that his card was verified in July and both of these offenses, and that the marijuana one is based on not a test or anything else previously, is based on the green substance that he had and admitted to, you know, being marijuana, and that's why he was charged with the use and possession. And the pipe is the normal way of doing illegals, but it's also a normal way of doing marijuana. So
correct.
All I'm saying is that the allegations are both timed over a month after his card was verified by Department of Correction. So his possession and use are absolutely not a violation, but I agree with the question about whether it could or couldn't go in there. But the warrant is not valid anymore. So you know whether he was trying to take it in there or not is an issue that DOC needs to take up, not the board.
Mr. Chairman,
I agree. I think that my only problem is as it relates to, and I agree that that's something that DOC needs to take up because once we voted in phase one to to find that he did violate the terms and condition of this. I'm not prepared to reverse that.
Correct.
I think that in, you know, as we look at the future, maybe we need to work with the DOC, Mr. Oliveri and others, because he's given us, he's enlightened us somewhat today, but I think that we need to just work on that so that we won't have this type of challenge. But but based upon what this board voted on, we voted that he did violate terms and conditions. We can't reverse, we should not reverse that. But I see no reason that why we cannot, if we so desire, I see no reason why we cannot give him an opportunity to continue on community supervision, if that's the will and pleasure of this board, because we do not have to go by those allegations.
Sure.
We're much broader than the allegations in terms of decisions that we make.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, and appreciate all my fellow board members' comments. Based on our discussion, based on our conversation with Mr. Weber, based on information that Mr. Oliveri has given us about medical marijuana cards and the fact that people on community supervision can have medical marijuana cards and use marijuana provided it's done in accordance with the department's rules, I'm going to move to return Mr. Weber to community supervision with the same conditions that he had. I don't see any need to add additional conditions because the conditions already call for drug testing, and I don't think that's a problem. So I'm going to move to return Mr. Weber to community supervision with the same conditions as he had before.
Second.
Rotary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Weber, you just heard that the board has reinstated you or returned you to community supervision, and you heard our concerns. And I understand your position about, you know, what do you do with the marijuana that you're using for your legitimate medical reasons. I would urge you to talk with your PO about that, and I bet between the two of you, you can come up with some kind of a solution.
I will.
Okay, but do we continue that good relationship with your PO? We will. It looks like you're scheduled to be released, as I believe you pointed out, about a year from now, a little less than a year. But you have all that time to be on supervision and get, you know, work with your PO, and we wish you the best of luck. And thank you very much for participating in your hearing today. This hearing is concluded. Thank you. Could you give the phone back to your CO3?
Thank you, guys.